You're listening to Disturbing the Priest with Brandon Baddick. All right, we're rolling.
Nice.
Cool.
Welcome back to Disturbing the Priest. I'm your host, Brandon Baddick. I am joined here today for part two of the new metal episode. I am joined here tonight by comedian John Tyler.
Hey.
Nate Hilly.
Yo.
As well as open micer AJ Farrell.
What's up?
We are here to continue the legacy of the first episode. That was the rise of nu metal.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And what must come up, or what comes up, must come down.
You're absolutely right.
The stairway up leads to an elevator down.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So pretty hard.
Would you say 1999?
Yeah, dude.
Was the end?
Absolutely.
It's the beginning of the end.
Right. And we have to analyze, just to catch the viewers up, we need to analyze the culture that created the possibility for an event like Woodstock 99, which was the supernova of nu metal. And I think that there's two events in history that made nu metal possible in the first place and created the culture that was necessary.
Yeah.
One is the 1991 dissolution of the Soviet Union. And two, the beatings of Rodney King. Let me explain. The Soviet Union, the power vacuum that existed, there was no enemy for the United States to have. People like Bruce Springsteen, they made a living off of this bullshit hatred for, you know, this fake enemy that was created by the government. Without that, the system turned in on itself, and all these convenience store workers and gas station attendants had no person to look at across the water and be like, this is the enemy. And also, the Rodney King riots, I think, well, the beatings, not the riots, created... Gangster rap was around before, but rap had never been as popular as after that, for whatever reason. And I think that where the LA riots were the supernova for like a gangster rap type movement, the Woodstock 99 was the supernova for trash whites in the 90s.
It was for us, dude.
That was our LA riots.
Here's a quick trivia question. Do you know after the collapse of the Iron Curtain, do you know who the first American metal band to go over and play in Russia was?
Who?
Cannibal Corpse.
Nice.
Yeah. Dude. Cannibal Corpse, they played, there's a video of it. They played in like, it looks like an empty fucking Filene's or something, you know?
Yeah.
Which is also a now defunct thing. But
Cannibal Corpse is that one band where it's like, it's been 30 years and you guys are still going.
They're still going.
Their new stuff rips, though.
I bet it does. Like, it's kind of hard to mess up that ironclad formula they've got, to be honest.
Yeah, but yeah. It's one of those bands where like, even their like modern stuff
yeah.
is like really, it holds really, up. Yeah. really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Definitely. You can't say the same about a lot of nu metal bands.
Cannibal Corpse, lead singer of Cannibal Corpse, has a great Instagram too. He's like
Corpse
a dad
grinder.
Yeah, he's like a loving dad. Like takes pictures with his daughter on like her first day of school. He's like holding up pictures she drew for him. This shit's so funny.
Yeah, he's obsessed with like claw machines too.
Yeah, he's like gachapons and shit.
Yeah, there's like so many pictures of him with like stuffed animals. He's like, yeah, what would I want?
He's like, Jay, get a load of this.
I saw a video of them playing a con. They're just all so out of shape now, and it just doesn't look. Yeah. It's just like, could you get into that?
Dude, it's like seeing Zakk Wylde when he got on stage with Pantera. It's like, dude, you look like a trash bag filled with Zakk Wylde's remains, dude.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all gross, but you know
it's so. I
comes
think it's
with being
so
70.
Funny. It's so funny that Pantera's opening for Metallica.
Yeah, dude.
They kind of had like an edge over Metallica for a while.
Well, yeah, and then they stopped making good music. Yeah.
Well,
I think in some circles, never to the general population.
Yeah. But in terms of like the next, like you know, I guess hardcore kind of mass appeal band.
Yeah.
Pantera.
Hell yeah.
Because it's like, it is like, it's nu metal without the rapping, pretty much.
And the turntables.
It's just groove metal. But if they rapped, could have been, if Phil Anselmo was a rapper.
If they were all collectively less racist and allowed that in.
Yeah. That is true.
Yeah, Fred Durst didn't do a white power rant.
You could wear a Confederate flag t-shirt to a Pantera concert and no one would say anything.
Yeah.
No one would give a shit. You just have to wear a jacket there.
They're like the Lynyrd Skynyrd of metal.
Yeah.
Where like they have the giant tapestry of the giant Confederate flag
so
behind
fucking
them.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Like if so Pantera had dreads, they could have been nu metal.
Yeah.
That's basically
exactly,
the separating
exactly.
factor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of people got hurt at Woodstock 99. A lot of crimes were committed. And I think that was the unleashing. Because nu metal is based on like angst.
That's right.
Of like average people. And I feel like that was them. I mean, it literally was like they had trusted nu metal as like the voice of this like underclass where it's like, oh, this is just like a dumbass tattoo artist from Florida who's like rapping on stage and has like a high pitched, non threatening voice. And they're like, this is our guy. And then they went here and they're like, oh, a water bottle is $100.
Yeah.
Like, that's a little
insulting. I mean, before we cast stones, all right, listen, there, a lot of people were responsible. I mean, to spearhead a gigantic cataclysm like that, I mean, personally, I blame Alanis Morissette. But, you know.
You're so right. Sheryl Crow.
So neither here nor there. Definitely Sheryl Crow had a lot to do with it. She didn't show her tits to those guys when they asked.
Could have all been avoided.
Could have all been avoided, just, dude. Could have all been avoided, just saying.
Sacrifice.
I feel like a lot of it's retcon, too. I feel like at the time, even if all that shit did happen, it wasn't as big of a deal as people treat it today. Just because the whole social fucking landscape has changed. Back then, if you were a victim, it was your fault. Like, don't get victimized.
Yeah,
you know?
It's true.
Yeah, be smarter, be stronger, be tougher.
It was like a hot take for the guy from, who's the one, like, no self-esteem? The Offspring.
When
he was like, hey, just because that girl's naked on a piece of plywood doesn't mean you got to grope him. Like, people were like, boo.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
He said that on stage?
He did.
Nice.
That was like one of the, on the first day. Like, it did not, it took maybe 3 hours for the sexual assault to start happening at that thing, dude. It was crazy. We don't support that.
That
either.
New York That's heat not, set in.
Yeah, exactly.
Michael Lang was like, let's get the rape on, dude.
They were like, the world might end next year.
Yeah.
Y2K.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I did forget entirely about that. I bet people who actually believed that were probably also nu metalheads.
Absolutely. There was definitely a crossover.
There was definitely crossover there, yeah.
It was nihilism in its purest form. They're like, let's just get hammered, do as many drugs as possible. It was like pure hedonism and nihilism. Mm. It was just...
But when you want to, the thing is like, you know, the Woodstock 99, like a lot of people, you know, it's like, oh, nu metal this, nu metal that, everyone got hurt at Woodstock. If you look at the bill for Woodstock 99, let's think about the nu metal acts. You've got Korn and Limp Bizkit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Slipknot didn't go.
They were brand new.
They were brand new, but they were offered a spot.
Ah.
They were offered a spot.
They turned it down?
They did turn it down, yeah.
Wow.
Godsmack was also on tour, and I only bring up Godsmack because at the time, like, you have shit like I Stand Alone. It's kind of nu metal-y. Like, there's no real rap in it.
Yeah, they're like post grunge, right?
Yeah, they're really like post grungy. And Bush was there too. I don't consider Bush nu metal, but they had the same post grunge type
chick
of energy.
Rock.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
But like, when you really think about it, like, it's crazy to say that like, oh, nu metal fucking ruined Woodstock when like there really was hardly any nu metal acts.
Yeah.
Like, Fatboy Slim was getting people punching each other in the face a lot quicker than Limp Bizkit was, which is crazy, but...
It was pretty much set up to fail, I feel.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, every, like, the rain, the mud, you know, the people, like, the fans.
Yeah.
No security. You
know? Yeah, no security. Like, there's so many elements.
Right. I mean, a music festival in general is just a fucking liability waiting to happen.
Yeah, well,
right? It still happened. Look at the fucking Travis Scott shit. Look at the fucking October 7th. You know, you might get fucking swarmed by a terrorist group.
Right? Yeah,
like, music festivals.
Sensationalism for these people, these bands.
Yeah.
That is worse than Woodstock 99. Not enough people are really
probably
talking about that.
Yeah. Worst music festival. Want to rank?
Yeah.
Top 10 worst.
But that's actually a good point you
Fire
bring
Fest.
Up. Like, when you think about like what happened with Travis Scott, and then you compare that to the shit that was happening in nu metal bands, and you start to think, like, wow, they were, like, you look at Travis Scott now, and you're like, wow, Limp Bizkit was, like, at least slightly, like, higher up in the food chain than where Travis Scott is now in music.
Travis
like,
Scott
that's
never
a crazy thing so? To believe.
I think he's...
I would say so.
I think he's huge with a very dumb chunk of the population.
Who, Travis Scott?
Yeah.
That dumb chunk of the population would be 80% of people on Earth, bro. He can put out whatever he wants. It's a chart-topping success. Whether or not
it's good
music.
You think he's bigger than Limp Bizkit was?
I don't think he was.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just using it as a comparison. Like, when you think about the things that happened at Travis Scott's show.
Yeah. Also,
and
that was solely his show.
How sensationalized it was.
That was solely his show.
Astro it wasn't Astro World or the whole thing? Yeah, probably. I don't know. Yeah.
Travis Scott never did a music video on top of the World Trade Center.
That's
so
true.
He'll
dude.
Never be that.
All
big.
Roads do lead back to that heinous Limp Bizkit music
That's
video
insane.
With those girls who are dancing and they look like they have no idea why they're there. Like,
you know what's funny?
Absolutely
like,
crazy.
That's how much the world changed after 9/11. That like now you can't like fly anything within like probably 10 miles of the World Trade or like well what was
yeah
the New York skyline but
I
literally
think that was always
like,
a no-fly zone
well clearly not for, clearly not for Fred Durst because he's like we're gonna fly a helicopter about 30 feet away from the top of this building
yeah
and you guys are gonna deal with it
and permits like, and universal checks are probably they probably go a long way as
and
far
Ben
as
Stiller
yeah
Ben Stiller was
and
in
Ben
that
Stiller was in the Jesus Christ the girls were also insane. Dressed like Fred Durst I'm gonna bring that up again I brought that up the last time but I have to bring it up again that the girls are dressed like Fred Durst.
Who would ever dress like Fred Durst?
What a fucking loser, whoever
you
that would be.
Asses.
Yeah,
I feel like Limp Bizkit was one of those bands that definitely like lost it because they tried to change their sound a little bit.
Yeah,
like was it the blue? Was it a blue or green album?
The green album.
Green album.
Yeah,
that's
I can't remember what it's
Behind
called.
Blue Eyes.
Yeah.
Cover, and I feel like it was just like generally softer.
Yeah, I do make this point a lot. Like if you listen to a Limp Bizkit album all the way through, like it is a strange phenomenon. Like you will find two or three like slow acoustic jammy songs on every single Limp Bizkit album. Like it was something that he was dying to sink his teeth into.
He wanted it so bad.
He really did. Like
he wanted
you know,
that.
The Behind the Blue Eyes cover sucks.
Yeah, that was it's
so
it's
bad.
Not.
Yeah,
it's not
I remember
for him.
They because they tried to pump that up too. And
yeah.
It was never good.
Yeah,
that got a lot of radio play.
It's like if you're gonna cover The Who, like you have to like pretty much reinvent the song.
Yeah, it was just a straight cover.
Yeah, and not in your brand.
Yeah,
as Fred Durst. Just like
no, because they definitely did dreams. A good job with Faith.
Yeah.
That's like that's a good example of a new metal cover. But
that was when they had all of the like $3 Bill. That's a great fucking album. Counterfeit.
Yeah.
My God. Like,
for sure.
Jesus Christ.
What other bands do you feel like tried to change their sound but failed?
Incubus.
And
well,
never really
no,
got,
Incubus.
Came back.
It worked for Incubus.
Yeah.
I feel like Korn kind of did.
Korn did, man. Do you guys remember in like 2011 when it wasn't like just EDM that was popular? It was specifically dubstep, like that thwappy, wubby type of EDM. They came out with that Path of Totality. It's actually my first concert ever. I was going to see Korn. Play like dubstep metal fucking
mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah and it's wow. Like the album has aged so poorly like it literally sounds like I can't imagine anyone no matter what type of fan of Korn you are listening to that album and being like this is cool you know like it because it just isn't like it's a really weird like they don't mix together it's like making country metal it's like what are you actually doing other than trying to be funny
trying to be that different
yeah
like, trying so hard
Primus did Primus tried to change your sound with like because they had what? They had Fizzle Fry, Salty Caesar Cheese. Although, is Primus new metal?
We had this argument last time. I think they can be classified as new metal.
Yeah.
I think they can because their guitarist has roots in like basically inventing, what was it, death metal. He was in like one of the first death metal bands.
Oh, yeah?
Lalonde. Yeah, Larry Lalonde.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
But like they changed, like the Brown, they were saying the Brown album's gonna be their best album ever.
Yeah,
and then they just never had another hit.
Yeah.
They had a sound that was super steeped in what. That's the thing with nu metal. It's like if you were to make '90s tea, like the tea bag would have a red New York hat on it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It really was the
like,
biggest thing.
Like
at the
when
time.
You think about Primus, like that, like anything that has like a sludgy and almost just like negative connotation, no matter how it is you're listening to it.
Yeah, you know? It's like, well, I also feel like they wrote themselves into a corner because where the fuck else do you go with that?
They did.
You with your slap bass and noise guitar sound. Like,
yeah.
It really is like a one-lane type deal.
Yeah, he should have just joined Metallica.
Yeah. He got
He'd
offered.
He'd be better than Rob, dude.
Yeah, he got offered, and they're like, you're like too good.
Yeah. We need Rob to finger an open G for an entire concert, dude. We were going to get Rob's son because he's even better, but he's with suicidal tendencies still.
Is he?
No, he's in a fuck, I forget.
Ty
what
Trujillo
band he's in. Yeah, he's in a band. I think it's called Otto. Awesome. That's what it's called. O-T-E. Hell yeah. O-T-T-O. And then he was touring with Bastardane. Which, do you know that?
Yeah, I did.
Band?
I know that band. I didn't know that Robert Trujillo's son was in it.
No.
Oh.
Robert's son is in Otto.
Yeah.
You know whose son is in Bastardane?
Who?
Hetfield's.
Oh, you shitting me?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Hell yeah.
So, the children.
Yeah. They're like basketball kids, you know? Like LeBron James' son is going to go be a basketball player, and Kirk Hammett, fucking his son's going to be a rock star.
Does he have a kid, Kirk Hammett?
James Hetfield. I was getting Hetfield, confused. Yeah, you said Hetfield. My bad. James Hetfield's son's going to
Lars has like 8 kids or something.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Kirk Hammett doesn't have any kids. Is he married?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, Kirk Hammett's too busy hanging out with like amazing guitar players. Yeah. I learned the other day that Kirk Hammett studied under Steve Vai. Isn't that crazy? And Joe Satriani.
So many.
Doesn't
so
surprise
many.
Me, honestly.
That Bay Area scene,
yeah.
Satriani was like the local guitar teacher.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, like everyone from that. Like people from Megadeth got lessons from him.
Which is crazy because it's like post-Surfing with the Alien. So he was like already known, and to like go and like learn from him is actually crazy.
Insane. Oh shit.
You guys brought up an interesting point though with the bands changing their sound and how Limp Bizkit, to bring it back to the Woodstock 99 thing, that was Korn and Limp Bizkit was like dropping fucking Little Boy and Fat Man on Rome, New York that day.
True.
Like they nuked that city.
Yeah.
And that was all like the fallout of that was that Limp Bizkit and Korn, I think that they had done their biggest shit all before the year 1999. Debatably 2000, because like,
yeah,
I think Issues came out in 2000, Hot Dog Flavored Water, which I do like some of the songs off of
that. Yeah, people who say it's a bad album is a little
fucking awful.
I know, but
it's
look,
not a good album on the whole. There are a fair amount of good tunes on that album.
Same with Issues, too.
Yeah.
Like, there was a couple, but like that. It was time that they passed off the torch.
Yes.
At that point. Yeah. That was like around the year 1999, 2000. And that's when we started to get a look at the next generation of nu metal, which almost saved it. And in their own right, did good for themselves. But like that's when you got Slipknot, self-titled came out in 99.
Mm-hmm.
And when did...
System of a Down self-titled was out then. But they like... They had one big song off that, which wasn't big. It's just that, like, that's the one everybody knew.
Yeah. And even...
But, like, at the time, no one's like, oh, nu metal is on the way out. Yeah. Like, it was as big as it ever was.
Right.
Because, like those hip-hop songs nowadays, like, you'd never be able to see the writing on the wall, like, oh, hip-hop's going away.
Well, because those hits are still playing on the radio and shit.
Yeah.
Like, you're still hearing Drake songs on the radio, even though, like, he comes out with, like, a good single maybe on every album.
Yeah.
Like, but... But then people were still in that like euphoria of all that happening. But to compare Woodstock 99 to the opioid crisis, it's like the years before that was when they were dishing out the pills like candy. They're like, this is great. This is great. And then Woodstock 99 was like when everybody's like, oh, this could be a problem.
Yeah.
Like we got everybody hooked on this shit now.
Yeah.
And clearly it's dangerous. Like clearly crimes are going to start happening because of this music. Like.
Yeah, definitely.
But Slipknot.
You know what we need to do to control the population? We just need a false flag attack on American soil.
We do.
We need crisis actors.
Then we'll start two wars, and we'll say, if you don't support everything America does, you're actually friends with the terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
It's not a coincidence that nu metal was the most popular in that power vacuum between us hating the Russians and then us hating terrorists.
How many Desert Storm Humvees were playing fucking break stuff, dude? How fucking many of them, dude?
Imagine that, like, coming to kill you.
I'd shit my fucking pants if I was not the United States Army. Are you kidding me, dude?
Like, imagining, what the fuck was Apocalypse Now? Yeah, if you have the helicopter coming at you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all about that he said, she said bullshit.
They're playing Nookie, dude. You got the Apache driver listening to Nookie on the way down.
Hellfire.
He's dropping bombs.
Coming,
I did it all for the what? The Nookie. The what? Yeah, oh my god, dude. That's
you just hear
horrifying.
Like the fucking Blind by Korn. Ding 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 ding.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Ding,
ding, ding, dope. That would be dope. That's
would be
the best intro nu metal.
Yeah. Korn's first album. I know where your line in the sand is for nu metal. I know you're a huge Toxicity guy.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Korn's first self-titled album may be the pinnacle of nu metal.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think so.
Go ahead.
Toxicity's an all-time album.
Toxicity's
an amazing album.
Yeah.
It was just, I was 6 years old when Korn self-titled came out, so I can't speak to it as well, but Toxicity came out.
When any of them came out. So.
Just at the right time for me.
Yeah.
And like, also, that was the down, so that came out, it's the best, 9-11 happens the next week. Like, 9-11 happened before I ever owned that album, so I didn't even know that world for the 4 days it was around. But they were huge. But that's the same year that all of a sudden kids were talking about Hatebreed
and
hardcore.
I saw them.
And that's when it started falling off for nu metal.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what's fun about that is that like hardcore is like a New York and even through Massachusetts, like from the DMV
to
New York.
The Worcester
like,
hardcore scene was huge and I think still is to a certain extent.
Like there are a ton of like some of the biggest hardcore acts right now are from, they're either from beachy California or around here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, think of all the fucking like 30s, 40s bartenders who are like burnouts and they're like, yeah, I just go to hardcore shows, dude.
Yeah, exactly. I saw this TikTok account that's it's AI art and it's the guys like superimpose artificial intelligence like Joe Biden, Barack Obama, and Donald Trump and they go to hardcore shows.
I've seen those.
Called Thrashachusetts. Yeah. This shit's so funny. Well, it's so funny, dude.
That's great.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Hatebreed. I saw them recently actually at the Pavilion. They were banned from Boston.
Really?
Oh, for real?
For like over 10 years. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
They were banned for some stupid reason, but they're still good.
Were they like kind of affiliated with fucking, because there was like, what was like FSU? That was like a gang that, like a white power-ish gang that kind of found its way into like a lot of fucking hardcore
bands. I can
bands.
See that.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise
me. I can see
me.
That.
There was some, a couple of bands
that got.
The skinhead
fucking movement came out of punk rock.
Right.
Like a lot of, you know, supremacy comes out of rebellious rock music, which is probably why they fucking put a fucking kibosh on it.
It's funny you mentioned that because like, you talk about like the skinheads. I saw this like, it's not like a documentary. It was just like a little one episode thing from Vice where they were talking about how like the skinheads, like the ones in England, like the real racist ones, the ones that were committing like murderous acts and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like they did kind of just rob the punk rock style, therein giving punk rock a terrible
reputation.
It's like,
are they still active out there?
For all I know, I don't know.
No, because they definitely had in like the 70s and 80s in like New York especially.
I mean, there's still racist people here. I'm sure there's still racist
people. Yeah, they just didn't
like...
Because all the crimes were against minorities, so they didn't care to solve them.
But yeah, exactly.
A lot of it was skinhead.
You're like, yeah, they've got a Discord.
Yeah, they've got a... Yeah, I'm the moderator.
No, yeah, well, even Dead Kennedys had that song, like, Nazi punks, fuck off.
Yeah.
You know, it was a pretty bad...
Yeah, the straight edge movement kind of ironed it out until What's-His-Face from Mind or Threat went and made Fugazi. Made art punk
Jesus
or whatever.
Jesus Christ, I should know that.
I just couldn't get into hardcore because a lot of it felt, it was like trying to be inspirational to people.
Yeah.
Like its lyrics tried to be uplifting a lot of the times.
Yeah.
Right? And I just couldn't get into it.
It was either...
I've never liked the forced positivity, you know?
Yeah, like Minor Threat.
Yeah.
Like Straight Edge.
Yeah, Straight Edge, talking about like work hard, persevere. I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
I want to be like, I like when like it's a breakdown and you just hear fuck you in the background for no reason. All right, can we say nu metal probably has the worst lyrics of all time?
Yes. No, like, objectively. And your band System of a Down is no stranger to having terrible
not at
lyrics,
all.
Dude.
Not at all. They were, I mean, you could say they were a little bit better, but like Soulfly is coming from Brazil.
Yeah.
So like their English already is like sketchy, but it would just be like, yeah, fuck you and your politics. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, fuck all you wannabes.
Yeah.
We do what we want to do. Like, it's like,
it's got no like math to the music whatsoever.
No.
It's just like random words.
I feel like System of a Down gets away with it. Like, they have like a, just like their image, I think, works with like funny lyrics.
Yeah. Yeah. I also like a song that goes pizza, pizza, pie.
Yeah.
Mushrooms, olives, chives.
I mean, everyone loves Prison. Prison's a great song, and those lyrics are fucking terrible.
Yeah, they're awful.
They go between being nonsense or being like extremely political.
Yeah.
Like in their
left leaning political.
Wired are the eyes of the horse on a, what is it? Fucking wired were the eyes of a horse on a jet driver, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Jet fire is that song. Jet something, yeah.
Yeah. jump, pogo, pogo. Yeah, it was really bad.
Pushing
was,
little children with our fully automatics.
That's a cool line, man.
I kind of thought that was cool, too.
It is a cool line. It makes me kind of want to push little children with a fully automatic.
Deer Dance
make it sound
like,
fun.
Yeah.
Deer Dance is the one song that should have been a single off that album.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think Chop Suey should not have been a single off that album, dude. I'd have chose Aerials.
I think, well, it was what's his name? Not Scott Storch. That's a rap producer. Who? Rick Rubin?
Yeah, Rick Rubin produced
Rick
that
Rubin.
Album with him.
Rick Rubin produced it, and I think he picked that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's like, I couldn't write a lyric, so I just opened up the Bible. What did he open up? He opened up the Bible or something.
Oh,
and he just
yeah,
found that.
Yeah, the Bible. Didn't he flip to, like, a random page
Yeah, and,
or
like,
something?
Pointed yeah. and found that passage.
Yeah.
I almost don't believe that, because it's, like, that's one of, like, the big Bible verses
yeah.
to just randomly...
Yeah.
Like, go like that, too.
Yeah, he was definitely perusing the Bible.
Like, he found
guy.
The crucifixion, like, right away.
Yeah.
You know?
That's like the Beatles thing where Paul's like, well, like, you know, we dreamed it and then just wrote it.
Shut
yeah.
the fuck know? Up, dude.
Yeah, it's like...
the lyrics God. Just came to us in a dream, you know?
Yeah, a massive drug-induced dream.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or Paul being like, yeah, Black Bird, it was actually Black Girl at one point. Yeah. I'm not racist.
Yeah. Ringo's like, it's true.
It's not in the cards, mate.
He's like, John yeah. Lennon is the racist one. Shoot him.
Yeah.
He deserves to go.
He's yeah. a phony. Reed Catcher in the Roy.
Yeah, new metal definitely, like, when you look at that spectrum, though, or, like, that timeline, you know, because, like, the Beatles, even, like, with Metallica, it's like, okay, I could see where rock has evolved into thrash metal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but with new metal, it's like, holy fuck, we're really fucking far now.
Yeah.
Like we're so far gone. Cause it had to take an abomination to kill grunge.
Yeah.
I think it's like,
well, I mean, Nirvana killed grunge when they died. I think the post-grunge, like Bush, like the other bands that were on Woodstock 99, like all those
yeah.
post-grunge bands, like Puddle of Mud and fucking like,
yeah.
dude, yeah, they're bad, but they were huge. Like, my aunt is, she's like 58 years old, and yeah. she still listens to that shit because that's what she was listening to when she was 20. It's like
as
all
much
post-grunge.
As people shit on Godsmack, they probably are the best post-grunge bands.
Oh, Stone Temple Pilots?
Is that post-grunge?
I would consider them
if
post-grunge.
If they are, probably. Yeah. Stone
that
Temple.
Almost rides the fence, I think.
Of what?
Of being like during, like real grunge and post-grunge.
Yeah.
Yeah, because their first album was what, like 93, 94?
That I don't know. I'm not a
yeah.
huge Stone Temple
because they were around
guy.
In like the height of grunge.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
But they have a great catalog.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff I found at a later age. Yeah. It kind of predates me, so I don't know like the history of how it played out.
The thing with nu metal, though, is that like when you listen to like Metallica and like big thrash bands, like it's not that they have the same subject matter. It's that they do really glide along similar lines. But like you had Korn... Where, you know, you're basically listening to a guy cry about his dad and his horrible childhood, which is fair. It's a lot of rock music, but that was their whole thing. And then Limp Bizkit is like, you know, the rappy, rocky, you know, break shit type guys. And System of a Down was like super political. Like all these guys glided such different
That is
things.
True. Yeah. Lyrically, they were all very, you know, their own.
Yeah.
Lyrically.
It was all very literal lyrics. There was no metaphor. There was
yeah, it was very in your face.
Yes.
Right.
It was fucking spelled plain out. Like, eighth, yeah. like that's why I love
because
it so much because it was
they made
perfect
it to
for
eighth
an eighth
grade
grader.
And then yeah. started a new metal band.
Do, you think it's it could be a reaction to the whole Tipper Gore thing that happened? Because when that movement happens, so many bands are like, no. These aren't like... These lyrics do not represent us. And like a lot of bands went out of their way to be like, no, these aren't, you know, where nu metal was like, yeah, this is who I am.
Was
yeah.
that the Satanic Panic shit?
Yeah. But it was like late 80s, like mid late
yeah.
80s. So it wasn't
yeah.
too far from the movement.
Wasn't
you know?
Too. There also wasn't that satanic edge to nu metal like all the like most of the other metal genres have had.
Yeah, there
was
like
just
a piece of
trash.
Shit edge to
yeah.
well, no,
yeah.
right. They
like,
were
I
like
I think the goth kids were when I was growing were more into like Manson and shit like that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. The nu metal kids dressed like this.
It definitely branched. That's when like cause metal was so I feel like metal was so like it was like steps. And then I think in the 90s it branched so fucking much.
Yeah. Fraction.
You know, it wasn't like okay, you know, metal, British new wave,
yeah.
thrash
right.
metal,
right?
You know, death metal coming out of that. It just like branched so much, and I think that's why so many of these bands were so different and experimental.
Yeah.
Because there were so many places you can go with it.
That's like the one good thing about hair metal is that the fact that they were so popular gave rise to all these guys who were like, maybe we'll just do something different.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
yeah.
Pantera was a hair metal outfit before they decided to...
They had three hair metal albums.
Oh, listen, yeah, listen to Shattered on Cowboys from Hell and tell me that isn't a fucking Def Leppard song.
Oh,
yeah, dude.
I think nu metal, like you said, the abomination that was required to beat grunge, I think it's almost like, you know, I'm not trying to be too racial here, but it was a bunch of like dirty white kids who wanted to be rappers, kind of, at the beginning.
They wanted that city edge that they were kind of like barred from.
Right. They never had a chance of actually being like a rat. Like Eminem was like the only fucking white rapper.
Yeah.
And they also weren't that good at rapping. So like,
yeah, especially with Eminem walking around, like everyone else seemed so bad.
Right. He was our Tiger Woods, dude. He like went up and it's like, the rest of us don't have a chance.
It's sad because his music doesn't get, since you discover it on your own now, there's no like, overwhelming stars. Like Taylor Swift is the only, but that's a fucking dumb.
That's a unanimous star.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. But it was like the level, the height that Eminem was at like, in like 99, 2000 was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember I went to a camp and they would play Real Slim Shady over the loudspeaker and like pull the microphone away from the radio or whatever they were playing it from for the curses. And he like knew it.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Well, I mean, dude, you listen to a censored Eminem song.
I mean, like, but that's what you were used to it because you listen to music on the radio.
Yeah, that's true.
So it didn't matter.
Damn.
Yeah. I think it did start to move away from the rap side of nu metal after the Woodstock 99 thing. Like, that was a more of a 2000s. Then it's almost like there was a second wave of
nu metal. Can you give me a rappy nu metal band other than, like, Limp Bizkit?
No,
that's not to
really
say that there
isn't
hip hop.
Linkin Park, kind of.
Yeah, Linkin Park,
like,
Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, like there is hip hop veins in nu metal, but like you talk about rappy rap.
Well, Rage kind of started it.
Yeah,
right.
Rage started it. Yeah, yeah. They were because then they almost got away from, because like if you listen to shit like Testify, he's not rapping on that as much.
Yeah,
like he started rapping more.
He pulls on Parade, he raps a lot, and like
Evil Empire,
he's rapping,
but
he's rapping a little,
what's their like 2000-2001
Battle
album?
Of Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah, he's not rapping as much, and then Renegades of Funk and shit.
Yeah.
I guess he's sort of rapping, but like, I don't know. Here's the weird thing is we didn't call it nu metal at the time. No one really did. We called it rap rock.
Yeah,
that shit.
That's more encompassing.
And then you would say Slipknot and those bands are just metal. No one was really saying new metal. No one was defining it at the time. You're just listening to the music.
Yeah.
Kid Rock. That was rap new metal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kid Rock is new metal as fuck. Ball with the Baza. Fucking slammer.
Yeah,
dude.
Did we talk about him? And then he was doing country at the same time.
We
had to have talked on
Kid
Rock because he is the behind the scenes guy.
That is like the lowest low, I think.
Like, dude, you could say Kid Rock. There are some songs, man, dude. There are some great Kid Rock songs. There are some great ones, dude.
It's like Edgar Allan Poe died way before his art was respected. That's
I'm just sitting here
Rock,
wasting time,
dude.
Drinking, smoking, trying to free my mind. Oh, dude.
When the 90s were over, I think, tell me if I'm wrong, but nu metal strayed away from its trashy roots. Because in the 90s, nu metal, it was like, we're classless, we're poor, and we don't care.
Yeah,
like, they never expected to get, like the millions of dollars that Korn got, like, overnight, Limp Bizkit. Like, they literally, it looks like if you gave a dirty, like, trailer park person from Florida millions of dollars.
Yeah.
They're like, let's just go on top
of
the fucking World Trade.
They have, like, a dented strat and, like, a four-piece kit
that
they go on stage with. It's awesome, really.
Right, if you gave, like, a 12-year-old in a trailer, like, a list, you're like, you have $1 million, what you do is, like, meet Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
Roll up in a Rolls Royce and then party on the top of the World Trade Center.
Yeah, like, exactly, right?
But then after that, like, System of a Down and fucking, what the fuck? Slipknot. They weren't, System of a Down was not, like, trashy at all.
Yeah.
They were not, like, trip
it wasn't,
pants.
They weren't even that, where, I was in middle school. They weren't, Slipknot ruled everything.
Yeah.
Everybody was a Slipknot fan.
Well, they really took over.
Yeah.
They
and I was saying, like,
right
dude,
up.
You guys listen to Toxicity and you're like, no, it's fucking gay. Like, because Slipknot was so much heavier that it's like, oh, it's way cooler.
I still have friends who like deny fucking the goodness of System of a Down, and that bothers me because
that's
both.
Crazy.
System of a Down was still, they had the nu metal look though, because like you look at like Surge in like the Toxicity days, like he was baggy khakis, big shirt, skateboarding sneakers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean the guitarist was doing his little West Borland thing with like the face paint
and the
butt. Like they definitely were playing the part.
Right.
If anything.
They were sensational. Yeah. They did have like all the pieces.
Yeah. And then they like they could have been even bigger, but then they decided to name their follow-up album Steal This Album.
Yeah.
Fucking great album, almost as good as Toxicity.
Yeah.
No one knows it. Well, a lot of people only found out about it later because stores would not carry it because it's called Steal This Album.
Terrible album cover too.
Yeah, it's just blank and it says Steal. But like, and because of the attitude of nu metal, if you saw Steal This Album, you're going to fucking steal it. You weren't paying for that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's almost, no one would carry it.
It's like it's what they wanted.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But I mean, some people, I think, put it over Toxicity. I don't.
Wow, but, really?
Yeah, I've heard people say that. But, like, it is still up there. So System of a Down should it, like, because Hypnotize, Mesmerize, I know you like those. I don't love them as much. There's
which one
songs.
Has BYOB on it? That's a good album.
One of the Hypnotize or Mesmerize.
I think it's Hypnotize. I like Hypnotize. You like Hypnotize? That was a good
it's
album.
It's not Toxicity or Steal This Album.
It is BYOB not Toxicity
not
or Steal This Album.
Yeah. I thought it was on Toxicity.
No.
No, dude.
I don't think it is.
Either way, but they did change.
The face on it, right?
You know what I think helped sold nu metal to something? Because like, I mentioned this to Nate. I was as I was getting back into nu metal specifically for preparation for this podcast, I was in the market for a new guitar, and I thought to myself, what better investment than a 7-string guitar? Naturally, you think, okay, well, if I'm going to start playing music, what bands play 7-string guitars? Let me go down the Rolodex of nu metal bands, right? I look up some Korn tabs. Those guys knew how to play their instruments. Like for people that were marketed to like you could say white trash people, like those guys were coming out and they were fucking swinging.
They were talented.
Like, oh my God, dude. Like some of like, even like, and don't even, we all know like the Limp Bizkit guitarist is amazing. Like Wes Borland's like one of the best 90s guitarists out there.
Yeah, like, I love Wes Borland. So I remember I was watching TRL, Carson Daly's show.
Hell yeah.
And they were promoting Chocolate Starfish. And then Wes Borland wasn't like into it, and Carson Daly's like, "Hey, what's up, man?" He's just like, "Yeah, I just think this album sucks."
They did all kind of hate each other.
And he quit the band, I think, for a while. Yeah.
That's fucking so funny. They're all back together. Amazing. Have you heard "Still Sucks," the Limp Bizkit album that came out like a year and a half ago?
No.
It's apparently a worthwhile listen, man.
Yeah, apparently, nu metal in general is making a massive comeback.
It is,
dude. Should we get into the comeback?
Yeah, man.
I think that's what we're progressing towards, because we're talking about, you know, Korn and them, they changed in a way that they hit their apex and they were at the top of their fucking game at Woodstock 99. Then you got System of a Down, Slipknot, and they also changed over time. And they both hit their stride around their third album, which was different from those other two bands. Yeah. Well, Limp Bizkit had to take like one album to get to like Significant Other, but like Korn right off the rip, they started high and they stayed high, and then they started to like come down a little bit.
Yeah.
But those other bands, System of a Down and fucking Slipknot, they also changed, and eventually they kind of fell out of popularity too.
So Slipknot, if we're going to talk about like, because a lot of them are like coming back, because as Brandon said, like nu metal's coming back. Slipknot as a band, I don't recall having ever left, dude. Like every single album they put out with, they do constantly move more. It's not like that they're moving into like heavy metal or death metal, but they're definitely moving into a more mature sound that isn't turntables and fucking this and that. They've been a band for 30 years, so they play like they've been a band for 30 years, and they make music that sounds like that. But like, dude, every Slipknot album that comes out, it's always up top on the metal charts, on the For You pages for all the rock kids. Like Slipknot has gone nowhere.
Yeah. Corey Taylor is. Have you heard interviews with him? He's actually just a really interesting dude.
He's another Fred Durst case where he used to be a shit eating asshole,
right?
And now he's just like a dude. He's just like a cool dude.
You ever seen the Fred Durst like shitting on Scott Staff?
Yeah.
On stage? I forget where they were, but he's just like, yeah, this fucking Creed guy back here is acting like he's the reincarnation
and he was
of
like
Jesus,
in back, which is pretty badass to like fucking go squash another band's entire set.
Right.
It's kind of awesome.
He did a lot, Corey. Did you see him? Do you know the movie critic or whatever?
No.
The film critic, the guy on YouTube was like the tie.
Oh,
stuff.
Yeah.
He did a parody of The Wall, and he had Corey do like the instrumentals on it or something, or like sing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think it's in the top five lowest ranked albums of all time.
Well, here's the thing, man. I think Corey Taylor is a good metal singer. I think Stone Sour is garbage.
I don't have an opinion on Stone
Corey
Sour.
Taylor's country albums are fucking terrible. Are you unaware of this?
No, I have no idea.
Yeah, Corey Taylor has two country albums, and the titles are Corey Motherfucking Taylor. Yeah. They're
it's very country.
Prime examples of like everyone is good at something, none of us are good at everything. It's like, I don't care how much of an artist you think you are.
Yeah, like, yeah, except if you're Gizzard, you know?
Yeah, so yeah, except if you're Gizzard, right?
That's a new metal album.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear.
Oh, King Gizzard get a new metal album?
No. Well, they kind of did. They did they have this song on their second to newest album.
Yeah.
Petra Gila Monster. That is rap in it.
I mean, that sounds like thrash to me, doesn't it?
I don't think it's. I wouldn't call it thrash metal.
I think this is a conversation of what makes like, a song new metal.
Like thrash is like it's like open-y, fast.
Yeah.
You know where that's. It's close. It's close. You got to at least admit.
I don't know
like,
if he's. Can you call that rapping?
Yeah, like that verse, that rap verse. Well, not the whole song, not all the lyrics, but like. That there's a verse that comes in where it's like literally bars.
No, I love that song. It was in my top 100 played this year. It's a great song. I know what you're talking. Is it The Bridge?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of. It doesn't come off as new metal to me.
What about Kitty?
Who? I don't know them.
You don't know Kitty?
Kitty?
Kitty's like the all-female new metal band.
Yeah, that's why. I don't know them.
of recent?
No. They're like 98. But
what about Evanescence?
That's a good person to bring up because that really is, that's the transition.
They're a Papa Roach band. They're a bridge over troubled waters.
When did Papa Roach come out? Because this, Papa Roach is a connective tissue.
2001.
Yeah, they're much earlier than anyone wants to believe.
Papa Roach, that's Drowning crazy, Pool. Yeah.
When was like Last
What's
Resort?
The fucking, they're like they got big with their cover of
The Cockroach.
No,
Alien Ant Farm.
Yeah,
I don't consider Alien Ant Farm new metal. They're more like pop punk.
Yeah, they feel like new metal to me. That got played on like top 40 stations.
Yeah, I think it's more like pop punk because like you listen to like the Smooth Criminal cover and you're like, oh, this is new metal-y. But then you listen to the rest of the album and you're like, oh, you guys are just more like Blink-182 than you are like Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, true.
Which isn't a knock on them. Like they have good songs, but
that got top 40 play.
Yeah, of course, it was a massive.
There was
song.
There was no true new metal getting top 40.
Yeah,
top 40 was like. Unless Pardon Me, like I don't, you think Pardon Me is new metal?
I think it is because you got that DJ spin in, you know, and then you got the fun guitars with the bounce riff right after the wham.
That's got to be like third gen new metal.
It's got the ingredients of new metal. It definitely doesn't amount to the same cake that is Korn or Limp Bizkit, but you know.
I don't know. There was definitely, because there was so much music at the time and everybody was experimenting that there was like a very blurry line between a lot of the genres, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, just over time, music in general, just like fucking, like even nowadays, the shit that comes out, I don't even know, man.
I don't know.
You know,
yeah,
it just got so obscure in alt, you know.
Yeah,
Evanescence is a good band to bring up though, because that if we're officially in the third gen now, because as like Slipknot and fucking System of a Down,
and what year is that? Like 2003.
Right, probably like 2003. If I wish we looked it up specifically, but it was probably right around then that Evanescence started to, like go on the rise.
Oh bands no, like, Evanescence. I think because Evanescence won the Grammy for Best New Artist over 50 Cent, which was an uproar. And 50 Cent came out in 2001 with Get Rich or Die Trying. So Evanescence was up in like 2001, I think.
The battle for dominance was beginning.
Yeah.
Like,
which is a crazy oversight on the Grammys. Like,
that's insane.
Like, it actually is insane. Like, that's, I'm not even insane. Like a 50 Cent guy, but like, dude, are you serious? Like,
sure.
That's fucking crazy.
In the Club hit my freshman year of high school, which was 2002, 2003.
Somewhere around there,
So, yeah. But like by then, most new metal kids had moved on to either hardcore or emo.
Yeah.
And it split.
Yeah.
Yeah. And new metal, like proper new metal, you had, it would pop up, but it wasn't where it was when I was in middle school.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Where like everybody was a new metal band.
Yeah.
And then I think everyone just moved on to like Disturbed.
Disturbed, that's the one. Sevenfold. They hit about 2000.
Metalcore is the end road, I think, for like an early...
Yeah, because by the time I graduated high school, it was like Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah.
It was Chevelle. It was shit like that.
Seven Dust is now Seven like a Dust. Dad rock band and shit.
Yeah. Totally. Could we all agree that that's the genre that took over?
Yeah.
Completely. Like the kind of what replaced it.
Yeah. Well, many genres fractured off, and I feel like the internet had something to do with it by that point, because like you get music was coming from everywhere. It's not like, you know, you have to catch it on MTV, like how Korn and Limp Bizkit and shit got kind of big. But like that genre, like the dad rock slash like hard rock genre, was the closest to nu metal that existed. That was like the most similar fossil that was left over in 2005.
I think it took over because in a way it did get whiter because the rapping was gone and the turntables were gone. Right. So it was the whitening or the whitewashing of nu metal that I think further evolved it, strangely enough.
It got whitewashed.
It did, yeah.
Who would have thought?
The whitest thing ever got whitewashed. Even
it became luminescent.
Yeah.
That took over for
sure. There's always a whiter fish.
Yeah. Evanescence has like, it's you got me thinking about them because they have like a string of bands that tried to copy them that got even further away from that, like Skillet.
Flyleaf. Yeah. I'm so sick. That song is still sick, by the way.
Yeah, dude.
I'm so sick.
Flyleaf Christian rock.
I didn't know that, but I found that out recently. Yeah, that's insane to me.
If it's actually a Christian band, like nobody knows.
All Around Me by Flyleaf is a dope song, dude.
Yeah.
Skillet's
Christian too. That's really weird because Limp Bizkit, people would throw up knowing that like nu metal had become an avenue for like Christian messages to get out.
That's true.
I mean,
like, they would literally vomit.
They do that with everything.
Yeah, that's
like Reliant K is just Christian Blink 182.
Yeah.
You know?
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's horrible how it's come.
Switchfoot, I remember like a girl did a project on Switchfoot. She was a fucking loser.
Yeah, no. She sounds like a fucking loser. Yeah.
We
it was about
were
like,
meant to
like
live.
Kids shouldn't drink and drive, and it was like Switchfoot had some song where the hook was getting staples in your head.
Oh my god, dude!
Dude, Limp Bizkit was like the drunk driving playlist.
Dude, like, new metal's awesome to drink and drive too. Yeah. If you're going to drink and drive,
if you're gonna commit a crime of any variety,
if you're gonna commit like a really,
if you're gonna
collar,
get belligerent and commit a crime, like it's new
if
metal.
If you're gonna
all day,
hit
man.
Your chick, if you're, gonna,
yeah. What?
Yeah. if you're gonna
live in a trailer,
what CD? What specific album? What do you say?
Significant Other.
Significant
I'd say.
Other, yeah. Or
so,
like
it
opens
would have
up
to be...
with Break Stuff, and you got Nookie. It's like that's the angriest Limp Bizkit album
for
you
sure.
Might crash your car without being drunk when
you can
comes
even do
on.
Gold Cobra. That's like a recent pick for beating your girlfriend. Gold
Legend,
Cobra,
a trending pick.
Yeah, Von Miller, big.
Dude,
do you know when new metal
gonna kick a pregnant chick?
It really started to go off.
Smoke while pregnant. Yeah.
Did you guys hear the Limp Bizkit song with 50? I mean, Lil Wayne in it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
That's
what,
dude. Limp Bizkit out of nowhere got signed by Cash Money for so much money. Like out of nowhere, Birdman was like, "Dude, I'm trying to give you guys $10 million to bring Limp Bizkit back."
Think about this: Birdman, Lil Wayne, Drake, and the people from Limp Bizkit might have been in the same room.
That's crazy, dude.
What?
That
what
Drake
year is
was.
This
is 2012.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not early at all.
Drake and Limp Bizkit. Drake could have very well been recording Bedrock. While Limp Bizkit is
in the other room,
like, yikes!
Drake had to go over and be like, "Hey, can you guys like turn it down just like a little bit?"
Yeah,
like,
I'm trying to make something
through.
That will sell.
Right.
Insane.
Yeah,
insane. We were talking about Limp Bizkit before I forget. John, you have an amazing
because
you missed the last of the part one.
Right.
So and we were talking about Limp Bizkit.
You guys talked about what an awful album, Chocolate Starfish is. And I bought it, not like because it was Keep Rolling. That was the single, and everybody's like, "Yeah, they're as good as they've ever been." And that whole album was hot shit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like not good. Hot shit's the wrong fucking. Hot shit's a good thing, right?
Cold shit.
It's cold shit.
Cold shit.
It's dog shit.
Icy shit.
So, Back then, you had to like go out and buy a CD, right?
So you had skin in the game when you didn't like it.
Yeah, right, yeah. Like yeah. you felt like, oh, fuck, you lost I wasted my money.
Like,
you know, I wasted my allowance.
I will never financially recover from this.
I'm drinking and driving
I
as
wasted
soon as
my
I get
dad's,
my license.
I wasted my dad's dip money.
This is going to cost me like 8 thigh punches for my dad when he gets home.
Now I'm going to get beat, and it wasn't even for a good album.
Yeah. I mean, an album was, I think like 12, 13 bucks was the cost of one, which is like, for back then, that's like, $30 now or no? Like 20.
What?
I don't know how inflation works.
Well, CDs
like
were
$15.
No, no, it's inflation's way worse than that. 45
kilograms of gold.
Oh my god!
Because like, I think a meal at McDonald's back then was like $5.
Dude, imagine
it was nothing. Imagine it was like $1 for a burger.
Imagine Limp Bizkit albums being on the gold standard. Fucking, holy shit.
That's what you should invest in at this point.
Yeah, dude. It's CD's just wrapped copies of Significant Other.
Welcome to Fred Durst's America.
Yeah.
So I went to Strawberries. My mom took me. It was our little fucking, we do it every once in a while. I enjoyed it. That's how I got Toxicity. That's how I got, and it was cool because like I'd hear about an album and just be like, well, should I get that? Like there's some good albums I passed that I wish that I found in the future. Like listen back to them. Like, oh, I wish I had bought this back then.
Yeah, but there's no way you would have like been able to do all of them the way you can now.
No. Unless you had just an endless budget. I had a friend who had every seat. Like he had the books and he had them like ranked by his fucking favorite to his least. And I was always jealous. But I would get like a couple albums like a month maybe. And, you know, that was pretty good. But... So this one time I'm at Strawberries and it's like it's what year was that album? 2000?
Which album?
Chocolate Starfish.
It was right around then. It was
2002,
I believe. Yeah.
No, because I wasn't in.
Oh no! Because he was on the fucking World Trade Center, so it had to be before.
It was like right after Woodstock '99. It was either '99 or 2000.
So I was like 12 or 13, and we're at Strawberries, and this is the Westboro Speedway Plaza. Where there was a Stop and Shop and BJ's at the time, and I think they both moved. And Strawberries is obviously long gone.
2000, by the way.
2000, I was 12 years old. So I had to shit when we got to the Strawberries, and I could tell it was going to be like a wet, hot shit. So I went over to Stop and Shop, but shit wasn't as user-friendly back then. Like, I couldn't find any bathrooms, and I remember I ended up walking up to a staircase thinking there'd be a bathroom there. It was like the employee break room was like, hey, you got to get out of here. I'm like, oh, shit. So I just like, I don't know. And as an adult, I would have just ran into the woods and taken a shit, you know? But as a kid, I'm just like, all right, I got to go find my mother. So I went back in there and it just fucking fell out of me, like pouring out, like hot shit running down my leg. And I'm just like, here, and I hadn't picked a CD. So I just Chocolate Starfish, the first one I saw. And I just handed her, I'm like, you go. And I like stood in the middle of the store and she's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, nothing.
Until you got in the car
holding and a Chocolate Starfish.
On the way
suit.
Out, I'm like, I shit my pants. She's like, oh my God. She made me like sit in the back seat and shit.
Yeah.
Just like had the windows down.
Nice. Yeah.
And then I shit my pants and bought the worst album I think I've ever bought in my life. So that is my Limp Bizkit Chocolate Starfish story.
That's such a fitting fucking story for buying.
I made a chocolate
album.
Mess.
Dude, you might remember this, man. The way I discovered Limp Bizkit, do you remember Newbery Comics would come out with the Wicked Good samplers?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's also, you used to go to Newbery Comics. That's where you got concert tickets.
Yeah.
That's where I bought. The first concert I ever went to was at Worcester Palladium. There was a band called Soil that had one hit.
Yeah, Soil?
Yeah. It was some local band, Soil.
Does you guys do Remedy?
Soulfly, which was Max Cavalera's band after Sepultura. And then Static X was the headliner. And Soulfly was so fucking good, they played like three encores and they buried Static X.
Nice.
Half the place left by the time Static X was up.
That's fucking awesome.
I also saw my first pair of titties, though, there. Because, you would just chant at a girl, show your tits. Until she did, or you would be like, fuck you. Until she did. You suck.
He's like, which I did many times.
Like, pretty much you have to leave unless you show your tits.
Was she on a sheet of plywood when it happened? Or was
no,
that...
No, she was in the fucking peanut galleries.
Nice.
But,
with their parents.
Like the security would like shine the flashlight at the girl.
Yeah.
While yes, really? Yes. Dude, yes. Holy. Like it was, everyone was in on this.
That's awesome.
Like you had to show if you were hot, you had to show your tits.
Well, also like to become a security guard at like a nu metal concert, it's like, all right, are you willing to wear this yellow shirt and commit assault?
And, yeah, right.
It's like, if you're down, then you're in.
Yeah, right.
They were like selling those shirts to people. They'd literally get a yellow security shirt and some like dude on drugs would be like, can I buy that? And he'd be like, $5, give him the shirt.
Yeah, right.
That's what happened at Woodstock 99.
Everyone wants to get mad. Everyone wants to get mad at fucking, you know, Limp Bizkit for Woodstock 99. No one wants to talk about Wyclef Jean going up there and playing the American anthem poorly and telling people to throw their garbage on stage.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, like, you see the footage of him playing the national anthem and he's just showered with fucking bottles. It's fucking so funny.
So we've covered the fall of it completely.
Right. It really it's just the remnants, I feel like.
A study came out very recently by Loudwire that nu metal, it's like according to Google, it seems that the genre may be making a comeback. The internet search result is at an all time high right now.
Nice.
Since 2001.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Is pretty wild.
So, that seems different than any other genre that was big, because it's not like thrash metal got big and then like every other genre of music was as big at the time as it was ever going to be.
Yeah.
They got their like decade, you know, moment in the sun.
Most genres survive, at least in some respect. Like, there's always going to be a thrash metal band that comes out. Like, I am so interested to hear a group of 18-year-olds that get together in a living room and they're like, dude, we have got to start a nu metal band. Because, right. Like, there's name a newer metal band, like, that just came out of nowhere. It's like, yeah, we make nu metal. Like, the way that you like it, the way that you've always known it. It's like,
yeah. It will happen.
Of like, course, yeah.
There's thrash bands that are coming up. There's, like, actual thrash metal scenes of, like, fourth wave where, like, it's amazing thrash. You find out they're all, like, 19.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like, right here, I got it here. It's... The search for nu metal has surpassed its previous peak in 2004, which is wild.
That's something else.
You know, and it's that's not like of recently.
Now, it's never going to die. It does feel like rock is finally back on the incline.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's nice because it's been gone for a while and things have been like rough.
Well, I think nu metal definitely like they just disappeared. Like that genre really disappeared.
It
kind of
needed to for a while.
Yeah.
Let it breathe.
Yeah.
So we can come back and fuck shit up some other crazy way.
And then like Mudvayne changed.
Mudvayne became country metal. Yeah. Like the guy went and started Hell Yeah with the drummer from Pantera.
Yeah.
I mean, nu metal's not known for the most stable people.
Right.
It's like these people are always going
to... It requires a character to front it.
Right.
Which is testing.
You know, I was saying, because we were like, I wonder what killed grunge. And you were like, it took nu metal, but I think that was just the first opioid crisis.
Grunge killed...
Yeah.
Grunge killed itself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is the crazy thing, is that like nu metal at least went down fighting, whereas once Kurt Cobain died, everyone was like... Fuck that, dude.
All right.
What am I going to do? Wear a flannel? Stupid. No, I'm going to get a fucking red New York Yankees hat.
Yeah.
Dude, literally, the biggest singers of like all the, except Eddie Vedder.
Yeah.
All the big grunge guys either killed themselves or overdosed. They literally could not hang with the success.
Lane Staley.
I'm still bummed about Chris Cornell, dude.
Yeah.
I'm still bummed.
Yeah. It's kind of weird when you think, it's like a suicide cult, like grunge.
Chris Cornell
there's some conspiracies behind that, because apparently the way Anthony Bourdain... Chris Cornell and Chester Bennington all killed themselves in the exact same way. Exercise band hanging off their hotel door.
Wow.
Might be some FBI
that's
shit.
That's weird.
And they had also, Chester and Chris Cornell also had started like a group for rescuing sex trafficking victims.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then Bourdain had like tweeted shit about like meeting the Clintons and knowing the wrath of the Clintons and shit.
You know
Holy shit.
You know what's crazy is that like... You know,
there's some crazy shit.
I guess
we
know what killed grunge.
The Clintons.
Clintonist.
Chris Cornell may be better off dead. Hear me out.
He does go down as a legend.
He does go down as a legend. He does go down as a legend. Soundgarden has no bad albums, objectively.
Yeah, Audio Slave's great, too.
Audio Slave's good. He was making some bad fucking music. in his time before death. Yes. Yeah. He was in the throes of really just not understanding that his time has passed.
I liked his Prince cover. Nothing compares to you. That shit was great. Yeah.
Well, you never know with this new kind of rise of the genre.
Have you guys heard of the new Soundgarden stuff that's going to be coming out?
No, I'm not interested.
Is it like AI generated? Yeah.
No, they're just using the last sessions and they mastered it with Chris Cornell and they're going to put it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give it a listen.
It's like the Beatles thing.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I'll listen to it just because I'm curious.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's like, I don't know. If he was still alive, who knows?
Everyone's just going to be like, it doesn't sound like Fell on Black Days, so I'm just going to un-add it.
That's the thing. Like we were saying that about Primus, but like new metal, like where do you even take that?
Yeah.
You know? Like where? How do you even evolve that sound?
It was something that was based on change. Like, I don't think that nu metal could, with the rate of change that was involved, it was so unstable because, like, no, like we're saying, no nu metal bands are necessarily like the same. It's always another step in a weirder direction until, like, eventually it's going to reach a point that you're like, is this even nu metal anymore? And that's what happened with, like, 3 Days Grace, like Breaking Benjamin, Linkin Park, Evanescence. Like, in a way, new metal.
Is Evanescence new metal?
I don't think so. I mean, look, yeah. I can see the influence, but like, there's so many bands in the 2000s.
They have elements of new metal.
But like, once the 2000s hit, I mean, new metal is almost, to sum it all up, it's almost a time period and an emotion.
Yeah.
With certain combined, like certain cohesive factors, like the rap of the 90s, the heavy fucking bass parts, like the beats that just make you like the breakdown in hardcore and like the two step in hardcore, that shit that in a different way was a staple of nu metal.
Yeah.
Like it gave birth to everything we have.
Roundhouses way before.
Yeah, literally.
Hatebreed. Like, oh, yeah. I wanted to bring something up about like Slipknot, Mudvayne, Mushroomhead, which I've always considered like the gimmicky end of nu metal, even though they had good songs, maybe not Mushroomhead, but like their style, yikes. Like the face paint, whatever, Static X too, but to a different in a different sort of way. But I feel like I don't know. I've never looked this up to confirm it, but I'm guessing they were inspired by ICP, right? Like it came from that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
ICP was inspired by It and like Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I know Stephen King has said directly It was inspired by John Wayne Gacy dressing up as a clown, right? And killing children. So if it wasn't for John Wayne Gacy, that side of nu metal might be completely... I think you'd still have Slipknot, and I think it'd be... Maybe they'd be called something different, and they would...
You just have a 9-piece band. You see all their weird white middle American faces, dude.
You could like recognize Corey Taylor.
They're just round, puffy, corn-fed faces. Dude.
So if it wasn't for John Wayne Gacy, you might not have Duality.
You know? Limp Bizkit. They're all dressed like Weezer.
Yeah, dude. Volume 3, I think the album that Duality's on might have been Slipknot's final hurrah with the new metal sound before they went real metal with that album that Psychosocial was on.
I feel like Devil and I feels pretty new metal to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they just sort of lost the new metal thing when that one drummer died because they had that guy smacking a fucking trash can or whatever.
Yeah.
A keg.
Yeah.
That was okay.
Which you can say what you want, but that ding in the middle of the songs did add like a war cry aspect to their music.
Before I'd even drank beer, I was like, is he hitting a keg with a baseball bat?
This is fucking awesome.
This is sick. Exactly. This is what grown-ups listen to.
That's what everybody said. They got three drummers, man. They got three drummers.
Yeah.
That was what everybody said about Slipknot.
Yeah.
They had one good drummer that they just fired. They just fired probably the best drummer they've ever had.
Yeah, people are pissed.
Isn't he going to like another band, though? He's going to like a...
He's doing something else.
Was he in the original lineup?
No. No, because their first drummer died like a long-ass time ago, I think.
Yeah, like, there was like a 5-year period where like this fucking... A Slipknot member was dying every year.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean? Hey.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, they rebrand themselves every album, though, right? Like, they have new masks and everything. I don't keep
up. They do the new mask thing a lot now, but, I mean, there were for a while that, like, their masks were pretty standard. Like, Corey Taylor always had the fake dread mask. Pinhead guy always had the fucking, the pins.
Yeah.
What's-his-face always had the steel hockey mask, which is objectively the best Slipknot mask. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, who is the guy that hit with the pin head? Is that Is that a new metal band? What is that fucking? The guy just that had the pinhead.
Yeah, yeah, Slipknot.
No.
Hellraiser?
Yeah.
Oh.
The movie.
Pinhead. No, literally there was a band where a guy dressed up as like Hellraiser. And it wasn't Slipknot.
Oh, shit.
I don't know.
Do you know what I'm talking
I do know what you're talking about. Can you name a song?
No, I can't.
Fuck.
Yeah.
On a different note, my girlfriend's outside. Do you guys...
Yeah, yeah, let's wrap this thing up.
Are we good?
Yeah, I think the camera might have died, too, but...
Yeah, the camera probably did.
Let's get her in here and shine a flashlight on her.
Yeah. Hey, yo. This is a new metal podcast.
Where's the plywood?
Yeah. All right. Well, Sick, I want to thank you guys for joining me.
Thanks, man. This is fun.
Absolute pleasure.
I'm Brandon Baddick, and this is Disturbing the Priest.